You ready?
Yeah.
You ready? All right, hold on. Here we go.
What's going on? This is the My Aggie Nation podcast. Cuddled up next to me, because we're kind of in a different configuration than usual, is one President Zachary Taylor, WTAW. I'm Travis Brown, MyAggieNation.com. And we have an in-studio guest, which is kind of a rarity for us. It's Justin Dunning, former Fightin' Texas Aggie turned podcast host and extraordinaire BitMaze Business School guy. Justin, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. Glad to be here.
Yeah, yeah. First, let's just go ahead and start off the bat. I know you, you hung up the cleats. You retired from football. What's got your time and attention now?
Oh man, so the whole transition process has been really unique. You know, you put so much time into football. It's what you do 24/7. I think you know, now I've been trying to find ways to still impact people and kind of maintain that that platform that I had from football. And that's where podcasting has kind of come in for me. I've been doing a little bit of radio over at Texas Radio. It's been really fun over there. But man, I've just been trying to find ways to continue to have a platform and impact on people.
Now, you still have a pretty good pulse on the program. You said you actually room with Ataro Lako, of course, is on the team. How much do you wish you were still playing, especially with Jimbo here now?
Man, I think early on, maybe first game or two, I was out there watching. And I was like, man, I wish I was still out there on the field. But now that I've kind of, you know, dipped my feet into different waters, it's a little bit different. So I don't really miss it as much now.
So let's reboot a little bit, because I know there might be some people out here who don't know your story. Kind of what was your story going through football, getting to A&M, and then kind of what ultimately played into your decision to hang it up?
Right. So it kind of goes back to my junior year of high school. I had my first ACL tear my junior year early in the season. That was kind of my first eye-opener, my first awakening experience, and I had to kind of develop a miniature identity outside of sports then. You know, I talk about it more on my podcast, kind of my story when I share it, but at that time, I had my mindset was focused on, you know, pretty much just not feeling that pain of not being able to play with my team again. So what I did, I attacked my rehab process. I attacked it in a way where I didn't have to be away from the game. And so I came back and played my senior year at White House. Came to A&M, played my freshman year, had an up and down season. I eventually got onto the field, and you know, I had the opportunity to start. It's probably three quarters of the way through the season. Things are finally looking up for me. I have an interception, got player of the game, and you know, the following game after that, I retore my ACL. So it's like, you know, I get really, really high, and then everything's just back down again. So it was kind of a turning point in my career also. But I ended up bouncing back, coming back to play another year. Had a really, really good offseason. Going into a highly anticipated game against UCLA at Kyle Field. And, you know, we get like a week out from the game, and I freaking tore my other ACL, which was, you know, that was kind of a weird situation because I never had any problems with my right knee. And, like, you know, I share more about that as well, but, like, it was crazy situation because, I mean, the game is coming up. You know, for you guys, we get four tickets apiece on the team. I'm literally in the locker room trying to get everybody's tickets to the game. I'm like, man, I got a bunch of people coming. I got my boys from back home, the coaches, whatever. You know, let me get your tickets. And we get a week out from the game, tear my ACL, season's over, you know, before it even started. And I just tore my ACL, I think it was 10 months before that. And so kind of a really bad situation. I debated retiring then. And really the only thing that kept me around, I ended up having to meet with a guy by the name of Inky Johnson. Well, he's a pretty well-known speaker. Came and spoke to our program. We had the opportunity to connect with one another. And, you know, he really kind of shifted my mindset. And my mindset before was really focused on trying to get to the NFL and get all the glamour and get the, you know, the big lights and the fancy cars. And, you know, whenever he kind of shifted my mindset and he told me about the injury I was going through, he said, maybe it's bigger than just yourself. And maybe you went through it to impact somebody else's life. And I started to see that impact of people reaching out to me for different reasons. Other than just, you know, football, they were reaching out to me for different things in life. And they were saying, look, I liked how you attacked that adversity, and it inspired me to do this as well. So I shifted my mindset towards that, came back to play. Last year, had a pretty up and down season, but we got to the Ole Miss game last year. I'm freaking pass rushing, running upfield, and every time we get to the quarterback's depth, we're taught to counter back. And so I spin back at the quarterback's depth, and as I'm spinning, you know, I felt my knee pop, and that was kind of a really tough situation. And so that was my fourth ACL tear, and it was.
And he walked in, by the way. Yeah, he walked into the studio today, believe it or not.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was, that was really kind of a scary situation. I mean, I didn't really, you know, when you have that many injuries and you don't retire, you start to kind of feel like you're invincible almost. And so I didn't really think it was going to be a possibility for me to retire, even though I know it sounds, you know, kind of sounds stupid. But anyway, so I ended up retiring from the game, made the transition, had a really, really rough time. I just spent time away from the game. And like, you know, because I love the game so much, I wanted to step away from it just to kind of get it out of my mind. So I actually went back home to Tyler for like a month or two. I was just completely separated from the program. I wasn't talking to my teammates, wasn't talking to the coaches. And that was kind of like a rebuilding period for myself and trying to find different interests outside of sports. And so it was kind of a unique time in my life. And as I came back later in the spring, I started hanging around the guys again. And like I said, Otar was my roommate, so I had no choice. But, you know, that was it was a lot of fun kind of getting back around the guys. And then Gabe Bach approached me during the summertime. He asked me if I wanted to come on the radio show to kind of talk some football, talk some sports. And, you know, I couldn't turn him down. I came on the show. I was like, okay, it's all right, whatever. Hit me up again like a week later. Said, do I want to come back on? And so I came back on again. And, you know, after I did it two or three times, I was like, okay, this is kind of fun. And so now the roles are kind of flipped and I'm hitting him up and I'm like, hey, can I get on the show? And so, you know, I started to enjoy that. And now, you know, where I kind of am now, me and Trevor Knight have a little Wednesday segment called The Figure Eight. We both wore number eight. I think it's a pretty cool name.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, so I do that. And then I kind of had the idea for the podcast and, you know, a lot of things have played out in my favor. The guys at Texas, they've been tremendous, and they've helped me out through this entire process, and yeah, it's been pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say no to Gabe. He's got those sad puppy dog eyes. but that being said, as you mentioned, you are from the 903. You attended White House High School, and I attended Robert E. Lee, but you talked about going back home. How big of a role did your family play in all of this? Because that's a lot of ups and downs, but how is your family as far as being a stable support system for you?
I mean, it was tremendous. You know, one of my main reasons I started playing football and wanted to go to the next level was to support my family. And I kind of felt like when I got hurt, I was almost letting them down and I was disappointing them. And so I think just kind of taking some time to be around them again. And, you know, I talked to all my family, my mother, my brothers and sisters. And I have five other siblings. And, you know, the regret that I felt in my heart wasn't really shared by them. Or so they shared the pain with me, but not the regret like I thought. And so they, I mean, they really kind of instilled in me and made sure that I knew that they really cared about me. And it wasn't about me going to the next level. They just wanted to see me, you know, do good at something. And so, I mean, they kind of showed me that love, and that's all I could ask for. So that was really big.
You mentioned kind of reinserting yourself back into the guys' lives, your teammates' lives, the program a little bit. We've seen you out at practice sometimes. What are you doing around the program and around those guys, and how plugged in are you, and how much of a connection have you made with the new coaching staff? Because I know that is kind of also a weird time to retire when you don't have that kind of support system within the program that's been around for the past couple of years too.
Right. I kind of feel like the skeleton of the system is still there. I feel like a lot of the guys, you know, Mikado Henson, those guys, some of the trainers are still around, the sports psychologists who I work close with. I mean, a lot of the guys are still sticking around there. And I mean, even my old position coach from last year, Terry Price, he's still there. So we still have a good relationship. You know, kind of throughout the transition process, I was more around the team, I would say, when I came back from Tyler, more than I am now. I guess because I've kind of, since I started doing the media thing, I don't want to step on any toes and, you know, be around the guys too much. And that's kind of weird if you see me on Texas and I'm sitting in the locker room or something. You know what I mean? So I don't want to step on any toes. And so I kind of been separated myself. I've kind of separated myself again, but I mean, still hanging around the guys, though. You know, we're still playing Xbox or whatever, beating guys up in Madden.
You talked about that position change for you, going from safety to, I guess, more of a joker, but a linebacker. You know, you see another guy like Kingsley Keke that's done that same thing. Granted, I don't know. I would argue it's not as big of a transition, but Kingsley going from the inside to the outside.
Right.
How have you seen him transition in watching these games, and how hard is that to go from one position to the other?
Oh, man, it's my guy, Big Sloppy.
that's his nickname, or is that just from you or from lots of folks?
I'd say from a couple guys.
Okay. All right.
That's what me and Otaro call him, at least.
Okay.
But I think it's been tremendous on his part. Well, first, let me talk about myself. That sounds kind of.
No, that's why you're here. We're asking you about you. No. Don't
so,
worry.
My transition process was a little bit different. Mine was kind of because of injuries. I came in as a safety, and I was about 205, 210, got up to about 215 by the end of my freshman year. I ended up transitioning down to linebacker the following year when I was a little bit bigger, probably about 225, 230. And I mean, I just kept getting bigger, kept eating, kept working out and stuff, you know. I mean, we didn't really work out much in high school. That sounds kind of weird, but I started getting bigger when I got here. So I ended up transitioning down, and the injuries played a big role in that as well. And I mean, it was very helpful for me to kind of understand the different levels on the defense. And, you know, when you play safety, you kind of understand the linebacker a little bit better. When you play linebacker, you understand the defensive line. And then as I transitioned down, I got to see that, you know, the different levels were all pieces of the same puzzle. And I got to see that beautiful picture put together. And it's something that a lot of people don't get to see. And then kind of speaking on Kiki, I mean, Kiki's done a great job going into this year. His was more because he wanted to actually be able to contribute on the inside and outside. He's always been a big athletic guy. You know, he was around 315, 305, 310, somewhere in that range. And he's always been athletic, but couldn't really – not saying he couldn't play on the outside, but, I mean, it's hard for those big 305, 310 guys to be rushing on the outside. And so what he did was he changed his body. You know, a large part was his diet. I remember – you know, there's been plenty of times he wants to go out and get wings. He gets a freaking 30-piece. You know, like, you don't need that many wings.
But we heard about his affinity for wings, by the way. He told us that he used to eat wings about every day.
Yeah, this dude's like a wing addict. But anyways, so he stopped the wings, you know, and he changed his diet up. And we have a great nutrition staff, John Tangway, those guys. And now he's down, I think, 285 now. So, I mean, you can see a big difference. And he's a lot quicker out there moving around, but he's still big and strong. And he can play on the outside. So, I mean, he's definitely been big for our defense.
You mentioned living with him. Does he complain about? Does he still get the cravings? Does he still like? Is he like, man, I want some wings, like, but I can't have them, or is he pretty like adjusted to a new regimen?
So I think what it was before, he was eating an unnecessary amount of wings. Like, you don't need that much. But now, I mean, he's eating them in moderation. So they're still in a part of his life. I think they always will be. It's that kind of relationship. But oh, it's that kind of relationship. But anyways, so
can't quit them. Just can't break up with them.
Yeah, so he'll still eat them, I guess, on the weekends and stuff like that.
This is us talking, you know, like laughing at this, where we go and eat wings after every podcast that we do. Yeah. So,
no, I think Kingsley became my spirit animal after that, because honestly, man, I freaking love wings. That being said, for you watching this team this year, we had already talked about, you know, I'd asked you how bad you wish you could go back out there, but being fairly close to the program, how have you seen things transition from last year to this year, if at all? Maybe things haven't changed. Maybe guys are just older and things are just clicking right now.
Man, first off, the transition has been tremendous. I think especially one thing that's absolutely evident is the defensive side of the ball and the way the guys have changed their mentality and the way they've played. I mean, I've been part of defenses in the past. Speaking on the run defense specifically, I've been a part of defenses where, you know, it seemed like we couldn't stop the bleeding sometimes. You know, teams are just running down our throat and we can't stop it. But, I mean, Mike Elko and what he's done with his defense, he's came in and instilled a different mentality. He's also got the guys playing up to their confidence level. And, I mean, it's been absolutely phenomenal. And so, I mean, the guys, you know, they say that it's not about the X's and O's, but about the Jimmys and Joes. Like, these Jimmys and Joes, they're playing their tail off right now.
Yeah.
They're playing their ass off right now. And, so, and I mean, it's been really crazy to see. And even speaking on Mike Elko, you know, the football mind that he is, I've been really impressed with the second halves of games. I think the first half, we've come out a little bit rocky sometimes. You know, you saw it in the Arkansas game. Well, not Arkansas. You saw it in early on in the season. But when it comes to second half adjustments, he's been spot on. And I think that's something we can all take appreciation for.
Someone I've been pretty interested to. So, little background. I'll talk about me a little bit.
All right.
So,
go ahead.
So yeah. No, I actually, it's been interesting to cover Mike Elko, because before I came down here, I used to cover TCU, and of course Gary Patterson with the 425 up there. A lot of similarities. The guy that I've been the most interested in is Donovan Wilson, because a lot of guys have seemed to say that, well, he'll fit great into this because he was the nickelback, and it kind of was the same thing under Chavis, but really, correct me if I'm wrong here, he's playing more true free safety like Armani Watts was. And is there a little bit of adjustment going from that kind of nickelback position to free safety where he is now? And what are some kind of those differences between the nickel that y'all ran last year with Chavis and the kind of more true 4-2-5 that they're running this year?
Man, so when Donovan came in, this was my freshman year. He came in the year before me. My freshman year, I remember whenever Justin Evans came in, it was Justin Evans, Armani Watts, Donovan Wilson. It was kind of a three guys that we knew were going to be absolute players for us. And I remember I was part of the meeting as well. And I was a freshman, but I think Coach Joseph wanted me in there. He was our defensive back coach at the time. He was talking really to those three guys, and he wanted to to say we had to find a way to get all three of you guys on the field. And so Donovan actually kind of moved to that nickel spot kind of by default. And so, I mean, they wanted him at the deep safety position. He has tremendous range and ability to cover. But, I mean, he kind of got moved to the nickel position by default. And so, I mean, that sophomore year he had was absolutely tremendous. He made so many plays out there. And I think at a 4-2-5 defense, I guess because he was so successful at nickel, you would assume that he would be in that position. But, I mean, if you see him at practice every single day, you know, day in and day out, he comes with, like, tremendous intensity. And if you watch him work in the post, I mean, it's – and by the post, I mean middle of the field. And you watch his range from sideline to sideline, it's tremendous. And so, I mean, I think he's – I personally think he's a better deep safety than he is a nickel, even though he did have a really good season at nickel. So,
a little bit of practice that we've been privy to, you know, and just watching Jimbo interacting with players – he seems pretty intense at times. I mean, he's a guy I think you can tell that just talking to him for a couple of minutes that his brain, it seems like he's running 90 to nothing. And he's so intent on, I guess, just being over the shoulder of everything that's going on at practice. I mean, what are your thoughts on Jimbo and as far as that approach from a coach?
I mean, it's his program. I think he's really passionate about what we have going on here. And he wants to make sure everything is all right and everything is exactly how he wants it to be. And I mean, I don't really see a problem with it. I'd be more worried if he was kind of just sitting back and like, you know, you guys do your own thing. No. But I think he knows what he's doing. You know, he has credibility to speak on different issues. He has credibility to set up things how he wants them set up. And he's done a great job with that. You know, you see the hires that he's made at the different position coaches and even the coordinators. He's done an extremely good job at that. And I think I'm really excited by the fact that he's so involved with everybody on the team.
You mentioned earlier kind of I think you said it so wonderfully, like the beautiful picture that the defense of all the positions coming together. Mm-hmm. What's been so key about the improvements to the run defense this year? And I know it's probably difficult just to pinpoint one thing because there's a lot of different little pieces and parts to it. But how are those cogs come together to make what the run defense is today?
Well, one thing I'll speak about is preparation. I think, you know, we had a lot of situations last year before, where we would run into games. You have a certain game plan you practice all week, and sometimes teams will throw out different stuff you haven't seen. I think this year specifically, and I've talked to guys on the team as well, we don't run into that many situations. I think Mike Elko's done a great job preparing them. We know exactly what we're going to get, and we're going to prepare for it all week long. We're going to prepare to shut it down. And so, I mean, he's done a great job preparing the guys for that. And then not only that, just people knowing their assignment and actually doing it. You know, we're not stuffing the box against guys. You know, we're not putting 12 guys in the box to stop the run. Guys are just winning at their assignments, and that's all you can ask for. And so much of that is mental. You know, I think as of right now, we've developed such a mindset that nobody's going to run on us, and, you know, we're going out there and playing like it. And
so something I had to ask, and this is kind of getting off topic a little bit, but, of course, you're from White House. Okay. Pat Mahomes is from White House.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you call Pat, is he going to answer your call now, or is he too big time? Like I'm telling you, he's really having a fantastic year, and people who didn't know who he was, they pretty much know now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Pat and I are still friends. I actually talked to him the other day. My girlfriend, she's friends with his girlfriend as well. So we're kind of, the White House community is still kind of there. But, you know, he's not big. He's not too big time. I mean, he's getting big time, you know, celebrity status and whatnot. But, I mean, he's still a...
He seems like he's always going to be a humble guy.
Yeah, he's always been a really, really humble guy. And I mean, no matter the success he's had, you know, he's really cool.
So I know we talked about this a little bit before. First off, before we kind of get off of football for a second, what's been the most surprising or funniest thing you've heard come out of Jimbo Fisher's mouth? This has been one of my favorite questions to ask players this year, because I know you've been around a little bit, and he has some pretty funny one-liners that pop out.
Oh, man, I got to think about that for a second. That one kind of hit me on the spot.
I was about to say, can he repeat all of them? That's another thing, too. I mean, we are in a podcast, but I know that there are some regulations, some rules here that we've got.
I mean, I watch all of his press conferences, and I've been really impressed with how fast he says some stuff. And sometimes when I think about it, like, you know, he's saying some stuff that doesn't really make sense, but he says it really fast, and it sounds really, really good. And I was just like, oh, how'd you pull it off?
Just try to, when he starts listing things, just like say a little prayer for us newspaper people who have to transcribe all of that. Cause the list, once he starts listing things, I have like a momentary panic attack on the inside.
Yeah. He's a really fast talking guy, but he says, you know, he knows what he's talking about, so he can sputter it out.
Now I'm surprised, and you might've about to ask this, don't mean to steal your thunder, but you, of course, have written an article, or at least we're touching on the linebacking core with guys like Tyrell Dotson.
You read my article?
Did it? Well, it's hard not to when you're asking those questions all the time. We're just in the press conference. Everybody's asking football, and Travis over here like, hey, how funny are you guys? But they are funny. And Ataro and Tyrell are a couple of guys that that like to crack jokes. As you mentioned, you and Ataro are pretty close. But What's he like to live with as a roommate?
Oh, man. The guy is a clown. And I actually did read your article, too.
Nice.
But, Ataro's a clown, man. He's a kid. I don't know if he's ever going to grow up. But, I mean, that's one of the beautiful things about life. You know, we can be children and, you know, still be successful. But, I mean, he brings it to the game, and he keeps a sense of humor with him at all times.
Okay, I got to ask the same question that I was basically asking everyone in that press conference, too, because I haven't been able to get a straight answer. It's like the best-kept secret on the A&M
team. I'll give you a straight answer.
What's like, give me one example of what makes him so funny. Like, what was one joke he's told or one prank he's pulled? Because when he comes into the press conferences, he's business time.
Right. It's not like he's up there sitting up doing stand-up like freaking Dave Chappelle or anything. He's just a clown, and if like he's not serious at any time besides when you're on the field or whenever he's doing a press conference or like talking to media or something. But if you're walking around the locker room, he's just not a serious guy. You know what I mean? You get that vibe from certain guys that are just jokesters, and you know, that's all they do all the time. That's him.
Now, that being said, you know, football, it's a little bit different than other sports in that, I don't know, you're going 110% anytime the ball's snapped. There's a very little downtime in between. And guys aren't necessarily as close as maybe you might think, and as far as proximity right. To each other. But that being said, what's the funniest experience you've ever had on a football field?
The funniest experience I've had on a football field?
Funny times? Yeah?
I'm trying to think. Hold on.
I mean, you can go all the way back to Pee Wee if you want. I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, because you're thinking football, this is serious all the time, you know, but has anybody ever said anything funny to you?
I just remember one time somebody farted in a huddle on defense, and it was absolutely terrible. I don't remember. I think it was when I was in high school, actually. It was ridiculous. So we didn't even get like the play call in. We just kind of went up there and lined up. I was like, that's terrible. I'm not getting next to you guys.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, yeah, a little bit what I was going to say earlier, a little bit we talked about before you got on here. We mentioned the podcast. But what other kind of things are occupying your time now that you have a little bit of a void from practice? Is it nice not having to go to practice every day?
Oh, it is nice. It is. So, you know, when I first retired, I was legitimately walking around campus, looking up at the trees and sitting on benches. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, this is amazing. Cause every time when I was in football, I was always rushing place to place. You know, I had like meetings and I had to go to like the training room and I had to rush to lunch and whatever. But now I have so much free time and it's amazing. I'm walking around like, oh my goodness, this is what it's like to sit on this bench. But, you know, I've been trying to really, I've just been knocking like all my homework and stuff out, and it's been pretty smooth. I'm like, how do people complain about this? You know, I can freaking go to Northgate on Tuesday nights, and it's just like, you know, I can go out there and do whatever I want to. But I don't.
But, I just want to clarify that.
Just want to clarify, I do not do that. But, yeah, it's, I've been trying to find different things. The radio thing has been huge for me, the podcast. And, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it right now.
So, and just to clarify, you're in Mays Business School?
I am.
So, when are you projected to graduate?
So, I'm going
to
graduate in May.
Awesome.
Almost there, awesome. Man. I'm getting old.
Yeah. That's crazy. All right, whatever. he's like, yeah, you know, I get to go to Northgate on Tuesday. Now, I remember those days back in the day.
Northgate on a Tuesday. Is there anybody on Northgate on a Tuesday? This is like me actually really being old.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple kids out there.
Okay. Okay. Around. I guess back, you know, a couple of years ago, we would do the karaoke circuit, but That's a little less than North. I'm going to go back into my old man cave here. Y'all have a fun podcast.
Yeah. Well, back in my day when we were going to the karaoke. But that being said, yeah, I remember a little bit of that. But that's the good thing, too, is there's not as many people, and you get to go out and, you know, enjoy libations and short lines. Absolutely. So for you... For you, obviously, the podcast. And by the way, if folks want to listen in, of course, they can always follow you on Twitter at JD3000. But is this going to be posted on TexAgs for the podcast when you guys get it rolling? Or
I'm not sure if it's going to post directly on TexAgs. I will post it to my social media page. And okay. I've created a platform for each and every one of the platforms. So I have a page on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for the podcast. That's at J Dunning Podcast. know, should be pretty easy to find.
Yeah.
Try to get my followers up on there so you guys give me a follow too. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to tweet it directly on there. And, you know, one thing that I'm doing forward is creating a video series on my YouTube channel. I'm also posted directly on YouTube, and that's to my YouTube channel, Justin Dunning Network. That should also be pretty easy to find.
Okay, awesome. And a little bit, and again, I know that it's just now kicking off, and if you're like us, you really don't know what the heck you're going to talk about from week to week. But are you looking at getting former players, any current guys? What are you looking at as far as guests and things?
So I'm getting current guys on, former players, guys in the NFL, and I'm also getting some of my friends on. You know, awesome. People keep DMing me like, hey, can I get on the podcast? I'm like, I guess, man. You better not ruin your shot, but...
When he gets way bigger than our podcast, which will take about 2 episodes, yeah. Maybe we can beg him for us to be on the podcast. Oh, we'll see. So you mentioned the life change that you kind of thought through before the retirement, and that mm-hmm. the NFL was your goal. Is media, is podcasting kind of your what do you want to do when you grow up? I guess is what I'm asking.
Yeah, so that's definitely shifted as well. Going into the summertime, so I did an internship at Northwestern Mutual, and you know, I was kind of trying to think, I could see myself being a financial advisor in the future, maybe. But I started doing the radio thing with Gabe, and it was a lot of fun. And you know, I've now been leaning more towards the football analyst kind of thing, maybe the broadcaster. And you know, kind of my vision for going into that will possibly be just doing this podcast, and that's why the podcast has been big for me, because it gives me a platform to voice my opinions on different topics and whatnot. And then also another thing I've been doing, I forgot to mention this. I've been doing some public speaking as well, going back home and speaking to schools out here and taking advantage of every opportunity, because that's something I want to do in the future. And so, you know, what I imagine, and this is like way, way down the road, I eventually want to have my own TV show, you know, be like a freaking Oprah Winfrey if I could.
You get a car.
That would be my ideal vision. And then also be doing public speaking on the side, because that's something I enjoy.
Well, he's got options. He's like, well, am I going to be a financial advisor and I'm going to Mays Business School, or do I want to do radio? Mine was either do radio or be homeless. I mean, there was really no in between. Man, that's awesome that you got options. I mean, that's, and you know, wanting to do a little bit of everything.
Well, you could have been a chef as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. I could have made Chocopia cheesecake.
We know that he actually has a skill and a talent for this, because you, Zach, has been transfixed on his every word, as opposed to when I talk, you're usually scrolling on Twitter and like tuning me out. Yeah. So.
No, I'm interested in what. Well, he's also from the 903. Yeah, I got to show some love for Tyler.
East Texas
guy. Yeah, East Texas. That's what we've got going on right now.
Hey, I've eaten at the jalapeno tree. I mean, that basically makes me like a, you know, honorary East Texan, right?
No. You go to was it Stanley's, right? Downtown?
Stanley's,
yeah, go to Stanley's and then get back to us.
Hey, I'm okay. I actually have gone since I was born. Mm. I've gone to Mineola like every year and eat at the East Texas Burger House.
It is good.
The East Texas Burger Company.
East Texas Burger Company.
Kitchen Steakhouse across the street. I'm legit, I'm telling you.
And how was it? Was it good?
Oh, it's fantastic. Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah, so he's got, I mean, we understand you can be an honorary member if you'd like. We can add you to the 903 if you so choose. Justin, that's about all I got. Do you have anything else you wanted to ask him?
No, I think this is a good segue into saying that, well, he just has to come back on the podcast for when we have more questions later. Absolutely. Down the road to pump up the podcast down the I guess we can close it out with what's your outlook on the end of the season, the next 5 games that A&M has?
Man, I've been it's looking extremely well for us right now. I think, you know, we're 5-2 right now. I don't think that's really reflected how well we've played. You know, a couple games, like the last game we played, we dominated it. And when you talk about domination, you normally think the score is going to be blowout by 30. I think when you look at the stats, they don't directly reflect what we actually did on the field. You know, we have 2 road trips, 3 at home that are all winnable games. You know, so there's a chance we finish 9 or 10 wins, and I think it's definitely a possibility for us.
Former Texas A&M safety, linebacker, joker, Justin Dunning. Again, he's coming out with that podcast. Go check it out. Go to Twitter at JDunningPodcast. Justin, thanks so much, man. Really do appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. You guys are awesome, man. This is fun.
Are you over here going to, like, steal my thunder? My closing the podcast off thunder?
Changed up the format.
So, that's the My Aggie Nation podcast. Justin, thanks so much for stopping by and chatting with us. We will for sure have him back on here to break more Texas A&M football down. It's bye week. Go watch some other football. Go live your life. Go sit on a bench and look at the trees like our man over here. And maybe you'll learn something new about your life. And then come back to A&M football next week as they travel to Mississippi State. And we'll be back next week to preview that. So for Zach Taylor and Justin Dunning, I'm Travis Brown. This is the My Aggie Podcast. And we'll see you next week.
It seems like every day, everything just has a way. A way to must have seems. But if we don't watch what we're doing, our hearts will get ruined by silly things. Good love ain't needs a girl, we know that's true. And if we want to keep it, we gotta watch everything that we do, yeah, yeah. Don't want to make sure my baby, make sure you're sticking with me. I wanna make sure